Hi, this is Stephen Drozdyk, the director of Coach's Corner, and with us today we have Coach Patty Branco, who is a very well-known, highly recognized speaker, an excellent coach that has had fantastic results. And to supplement the article that she wrote on 17 marketing ideas to reconsider, we have this interview. So, Patty, could you expand upon some of your comments?
I'd love to, Steve. And, you know, I think of it as almost bringing the article to life, which is a lot of fun. So, you know, to begin with, I would like to stroll through history just for a minute and talk about cold calling, which was so popular in the 80s, and it really was very predictable because if you came upon an investor while you were cold calling, you were more than likely to get some business from that encounter. And the numbers were predictable. They always said if you were good at what you said, 1 out of 10 would say yes, and, you know, out of all those, 1 out of 3 would become an account, and it really pretty much worked out that way. But that was 20 years ago. If you fast forward to today, we've got the Schwabs, the Ameritrades, the E-Trades, but that's not all. Now we have Farmers Agents, Allstate Agents, State Farm, and that's not all. We have banks and credit unions. So the competition is so tough that I always recommend thinking outside the box and doing different things that other people aren't doing in order to attract business.
Well, that makes sense, and I didn't realize how many changes had occurred in the past 20 years, but when you step through history, it does make sense. I guess they just creep up on you.
Right, and so the bottom line is the same old thing just isn't working, and so it is time to change your strategy. And these, Steve, the 17 points we're going to go through, I can expand on all of them at some other point, but each one of these is a tactic that has been used by very successful brokers in all different channels, and in a little bit of a different format sometimes. And I'd like to throw a little reminder out there that if anybody is going to attempt or give any of these a shot, they really should make sure it's approved by their compliance department.
Absolutely. So what are some of those 17 ways? And let's just follow them in line.
Okay, the first one is become a teacher. And I believe that most night schools, local colleges will be thrilled to have somebody come in and say, I'm going to teach you a little bit about the basics of investing. Now, that's easy to get approved. Most companies have a PowerPoint or a format that someone could use. But they're always looking for new talent. And night school teachers are not necessarily professors or college graduates. They're business people who have something to offer the community. Often you'll find SBA, you know, Small Business Association, gurus there to help people start a business, or you'll find, you know, time management gurus, but they love financial experts. And so, again, coming up with a good format, knocking on the doors of a community college or a night school is a great way to talk to 30 people at once. And if you talk to those 30 people and they like what you're saying, they're going to ask you for more information. Now, just a little caveat here, you cannot make it an infomercial and keep talking about, like, if you come to see me, I'll help you do this. But just being there and them knowing where to get a hold of you is about all that you can offer. But it works. It really works.
You know, I would assume that there are two other benefits over there. One is that you get multiple exposures to the same group.
Correct.
So by the time they've met with you the second and third time, mm-hmm. you are their trusted friend or their trusted advisor, as opposed to just somebody else who is talking to them.
Good point, the drip system. That is a very good point that I hadn't even thought of, Steve.
Yeah, and then the second, in fact, there's another one. The second one is that the community college or whatever the organization is doing your marketing for you.
Correct.
Third, if you tape record those talks, you can then put a compilation of those talks and use them as a CD or whatever to give to other prospects who can't attend.
Yes, and I do know a broker that has done that. He made a CD, and he actually gives it out to people. It's a little different. He's on a radio show, which we're going to talk about in a little while, but he has a CD of one of his better programs, and it's a handout for him. Excellent, yeah.
Excellent. So becoming a teacher does make a lot of sense.
It sure does. The second one is affinity markets. And, you know, Steve, when I was doing training for Morgan Stanley, I had 300 guys and gals every 3 weeks, and one of the questions I'd say is, what's your market going to be? Well, 8 times out of 10, most of the people would say, I want doctors, I want lawyers, I want dentists. And I'd say, well, what do you know about that market? And they knew very little. So what I say is to First of all, look at your own life, your own favorite hobby. Are you a golfing person, a fisherman, a sailor, a skydiver? That's the first area you should look at. You know, what was your former industry? We had one guy, quick story, was in New York, actually. He had been a large earth-moving equipment driver. You know, these big machines that move dirt, and they use them for high-rise buildings. His whole family had been in that, and he was making really good money. Most of those guys were making $80,000 to $120,000 a year because it's a high-risk job. Sometimes you're up high. Well, my first question to him was, gee, your dad was in it, your uncles, everybody's in that business. Have you talked to any of them about what you're going to be doing? Well, no, I haven't. I said, that's the first area you should go. You know that business. You know how much they make. You know their concerns, their issues, their needs. So, again, not to belabor this, but look in your former industry where you once worked or in one of the things that you like to do a lot. Learn everything about that. If you want a target market, if you want to have a target market of doctors, then you better know what their issues are. Their concerns with their insurance premiums, their concerns with revenue, their concerns with marketing. You need to know all of that before you can say I'm an expert in the finances of doctors or the finance of dentists. But affinity markers are good. Learn what you like to do. Learn more about that area and then find people that have a like, you know, a like hobby or a like interest in what it is you're studying. Make sense?
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Would you recommend the reading of various trade journals for whatever market you're going after?
Absolutely. Become the niche expert in that. Yes, absolutely. Know enough about them that you can speak intelligently.
Okay. Is there anything in particular within those journals that you should be looking for?
I always say issues, because issues that might be related to finance, and that would definitely be one of the big concerns with doctors today, for instance, is their E&O insurance, their errors and omission insurance, or malpractice insurance. There are plastic surgeons that are paying in excess of a couple $100,000 a year just for that insurance, and it's way, way out of kilter. So, I mean, I think there's certain strategies that an investment advisor could do where they could have the interest of some XYZ account paying for those monthly fees or quarterly fees or semi-annually fees or however the doctor pays it. Believe it or not, Steve, marketing is a problem with medical professionals. If you're brand new out of med school, where do you get your patients from? So marketing would be important, because a new doctor would have to know how to network with other doctors in the area to get the overflow or to get patients. Do you advertise? Do you do seminars? Plastic surgeons do seminars. Guys who do that laser surgery on eyes do seminars. Why? Because it lets them have an audience. So it attracts people, just like we were talking about being a teacher for a financial advisor. So those are issues that are important to medical professionals that you really need to have a grip on.
Okay, thank you.
There's a couple more threads in here that we'll cover a little bit more about that when we're going through some of the other points.
Okay. So the next topic, though, is writing articles.
Yes, and this is really a simple thing. Most newspapers in your neighborhood, even major newspapers, LA Times was very good for this, is more than happy to have a little turnkey article, and they're happy to give you a byline and a little credit. And if you could start doing this on a regular basis, say every 2 weeks in your neighborhood, your name gets in front of people, rather than even write it. Right now, Steve, you and I both know there's so many places where you can recopy an existing article with their permission, or you could even go and purchase some pre-made articles that are quite good. They're NASD approved, and they're really good. They're on retirement or on different financial issues, and you could buy these articles and then offer them to your local newspapers and get the byline. And again, start to build a little credibility in your own local area.
Now, I would assume that most major firms have their own series of articles that they could also draw upon.
Another good point. Yes, you're right. The bigger firms do have a database that the reps can pull from and actually use without even pre-approving it.
Right. And then the other place to look at articles would be little church magazines or association magazines or even the magazines of the niche that you're trying to penetrate.
Very excellent point. Absolutely, and try to build in a little bit of emphasis on why that's important to that particular professional that you're trying to target.
Boy, then you're an insider rather than an outsider.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
Good. Excellent ideas coming both ways here. Your number four is be a speaker. Once again, local associations, you know, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, all these different organizations, Knights of Columbus, the organizations that usually meet for breakfast once a month, sometimes twice a month, always bring in speakers. Again, you only get 10 minutes. But doing that and having a really dynamic, do you have enough money to retire seminar that's 10 minutes long, talks about things they should consider, just something powerful that makes an impact. Again, don't do it as an infomercial because you'll never get invited back, but just you standing up there instantly conveys that you are the authority. Just standing up in a room conveys that you're an authority in body language, and so when you do it as an invited guest, it immediately tells that group of people, hey, I'm here because I know a lot about this subject. But the other thing is to be a speaker on call. This helped me build my own speaking career a little bit, was to say, I will be available at the last minute if somebody cancels. And that's pretty unique, and have something right in your hip pocket to pull out at a last-minute notice. So,
and that's an excellent idea, because you never know when somebody's going to be sick.
Right, right. Or yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, have a flat tire or just not be able to get there. But just to say, you know, call me within a couple hours, 90% of the time I'll be able to be there.
You know, Patty, I know that you're a very accomplished public speaker yourself. Perhaps at another interview you could go over some tips and techniques for creating a speech and delivering it so that you come off with the authority that you need.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, great.
In fact, I'm working on one right now, how to do a dynamic presentation for work or for an organization that I have to deliver somewhere else. Yes, I'd love to do that.
Okay, well, that will become the subject of another article and another discussion sometime
great,
in the future.
Great. Okay, number five is church talks. Heed the calling to serve local parishioners, but behind the scenes, you and I both know this too, the churches are run like a business. The lights don't go on for free, the heat doesn't go on for free, the cleaning people don't come in for free. All of that costs money to run, and usually costs more to run than a household. So this is a great opportunity to do a fundraiser for your church to say, look, you know, I'll come and do this every month for you. We'll charge $5 and you keep the $5. And then to really have something that draws a crowd, a really good topic, great delivery method, be dynamic, and maybe $10. You know, depending on the neighborhood, the area that you're in, you know, you could create a little workbook for them and have a three-part workshop on planning for retirement, how to get more income, you know, managing your assets, and again, have a three-parter, charge $10 a week or every other week. But all that goes to the church, and churches love that. They're thrilled to have you do that, whether it be $50 they make or $500. It's all money that helps run their operation.
Excellent.
Yep, I think.
Excellent. And again, they're doing the marketing for you, and the word spreads.
Right. And again, you know, I always say to people, if you're not a person who, you know, don't go somewhere where you don't feel comfortable or where you don't feel it fits your own heart and spirit and soul. I mean, if you're if you're someone who's just not into churches, don't do that. But if you're someone who goes to church yourself, or, you know, you're okay with that concept, then that's a great way to a place to go. Because the reason I'm saying that is they'll feel more comfortable if you're of the same mindset than they are. That's probably what I meant to say.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, if it isn't churches, the same thing would apply to associations.
Absolutely. Any kind of a cause, you should believe in that cause if you're going to an organization, a nonprofit, to do this. You should feel comfortable with the group that you're with, and they should feel comfortable. It's a sincerity thing, you know, it's sort of a connection thing. It's really important. But number six is clip for business, and I used to do this, and this worked very well. You see a lot of times in the paper, you know, great little articles about someone who's promoted to vice president, or someone who opened a business, or someone who got a promotion, or somebody, and I mean even the big guys in the airline industry when they're changing CEOs and major people. You clip out a little piece, a little article out of the paper, the headline from the paper, the actual paper itself, and you put it in a little envelope with your business card and a note saying, thought you might like to see this. Now, you don't get called every time, but most people, because we're all raised to be polite, most people will pick up the phone and say, thanks. I got this article. I don't know why you sent it to me, but thanks. And, well, that's what I do as a financial advisor. I do this for a lot of my clients, and I saw this and thought you might like to see it. So again, not everybody's going to call you, but a lot of people will pick up the phone and say thank you. Just your card, thought you might like to see this, and the clipping from a newspaper, especially if it's out of state and the person lives in a different area. And once again, you know, if you're doing that, you want to make sure you're licensed in that state, because if you end up doing business with that person, you need to be. So, but that's a clipping service. People love seeing their name in print, and it just makes them realize that people are noticing.
Good idea.
So when I see notes on you, Steve, I'm going to cut them out and send them your way.
Okay, that's perfect.
All right. Corporate directories. If you can get a corporate directory from a firm that's having layoffs, this is one of the best lists somebody could ever want. I would say go back to cold calling for this, but if a friend or a family member can help you get a corporate directory, and especially if you know they're having a big turnover, to make calls, try to get in, first of all, try to get into human resources and do a talk for the people that are retiring and try to just give them some generic information. And once again, you're standing up, you're the authority, you're the one they may call when they have nowhere else to turn. But also to get that directory and be able to call, introduce yourself is a wonderful thing. And usually the person that can give it to you will say, I know these five people are definitely leaving or retiring. That's where some of these reps make these huge big bucks in the credit unions. It's credit unions where they have a lot of retiring people or cutbacks where they're letting people go. Huge savers and big salaries and large 401k or retirement plans. So, again, corporate directories or even finding out where there's layoffs and doing a talk for the human resource department. It's a great avenue.
So you're really benefiting the corporation at that point.
You are.
As well as the individuals that you give the talk to.
You are, and part of that is that if you think about it, you know this HR person is buried in paperwork with all the change that's happening, all the questions that are coming to her. So you're actually taking some of that burden off that person, his or her shoulders, by offering to do just a generic talk on here's your options for a retirement plan. Here are the things you can do. Here are the things you can't do. And if you're able to, if the HR person welcomes you in, the first thing you might want to do is to take a look at the company plan, the retirement plan, because there are sometimes some interesting twists built into it where you can get your money at 55 with no penalty if you're laid off in some companies. So there's a lot of things that people don't know about as a general rule that are written into these plans that they could bring up. So, yeah, corporate directories, that's a good one.
You know, Patty, it was you who told me at a previous conversation how you should really learn about the plans, of the pension plans, of the corporations that your clients are employed at.
Absolutely.
Because most of their competitors don't have any concept of what the real details of the plans are, and sometimes those little nuances make all the difference in the world.
Right. There's the generic, and then right behind that generic are these little special, personalized touches that the company puts into their plan. Yes. Very important. Sometimes they're overlooked completely. No one ever even realizes they're there.
But the astute advisor will have pre-read the plans and will not be reading it for the first time when they first get the client. So
right.
If you live in Rochester, you would understand the plan of Eastman Kodak.
Exactly. Very
okay.
Good point. In fact, you know, one of the projects I'm doing now with Pentagon Federal Credit Union, the military has something called Thrift Savings Plan. Actually, the government does, too. It's very similar to a regular 401k, but it has many nuances that are different to a 401k or a Roth IRA or an IRA, and those folks are experts in the TSPs, because when the people get a distribution, there's like 20 forms to fill out, typical government, right? But there's 20 or 30 forms they have to go through, and they don't. They leave them in a drawer until it's too late, so our reps are able to really help them through that whole plan.
And
you're right.
That is differentiation. Okay.
Number 8 is launching an e-zine. A weekly email update can generate a lot of inquiries, and that, again, is easy to do, and I want to caution people to make sure they clear it with their compliance officer. These are things that once you put something in writing, it lives forever and forever and forever after that. So just know that when you're doing emails. Just a little aside there. So if you do a weekly e-zine, again, use your pre-approved information, cut and paste. Get your list, build up your list. Every time you meet someone, whether you're golfing or at a party, ask them if they'd like to be on your e-zine list. Make sure it's something that's powerful and meaningful and important and short. There's one guy I know that's a speaker that sends out what he calls his two-minute easing. I don't know what the name of it is. 2 minutes. You read it. It's like two or three paragraphs, and it's always powerful. It's always dynamic. And I know people read it. I know they read it. And he builds his list at every talk he does, every place he goes. So if you're doing these talks and you're doing this school, you're being a teacher at night, think of all the names you'll gather, and you just keep building up your list and building up your list and sending an e-zine to those people. One little caution there, when you do an e-zine, make sure you always have an unsubscribe on the bottom, that you give the person the opportunity to unsubscribe if they choose to. And that's really important in the legal world of sending out mass mailings over the internet. And also, if your company doesn't have a really nice template that you can use, there's a company called Constant Contact, which is very reasonable and really quite good for a very reasonable amount of money. So you could go to Google and punch in e-zine, and you'll probably get 10 or 20 different companies to look at.
Okay.
Press release. Any promotion or other noteworthy event that happens in your firm, do a nice press release, and you could actually, usually Microsoft Word has templates for this. They look very professional. And just announce what you've done. Send it to your local newspaper. Send it to your larger, you know, city newspaper. And again, if they have room, they love fillers, and the more you do it, the more often you're likely to have it show up in the newspaper. PowerPoint marketing. I love PowerPoint. I just, those things can dance once you learn how to use them.
I couldn't tell that from your voice.
Really?
Yeah, I really couldn't tell.
PowerPoint marketing. All right, anyway, learn how to use PowerPoint, because you could take a half-day class at any of these computer companies, CompUSA, or even online, but there's so much that it can do. So you can create a dynamic brochure, 5 or 6 slides with your picture in it and what you do that can be emailed, or you can save it on a disk and mail it out. It's very unique. It's different. And it's an opportunity to learn a new skill. And, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm realizing it's almost old-fashioned, because now people are doing little clips of themselves, video clips, and sending it around. But PowerPoint is still good. You could do a very dynamic brochure that has a little movement to it, and you could have words that float across the screen and use different colors. And so, again, see, that's the creative part of me coming out, but you can have a little audio popped into it. It's a really nice way to market. Then when you're doing seminars and things too, PowerPoint can be very effective if it's not used as a crutch. If you're doing a seminar and you're looking at your PowerPoint and reading it, that's a no-no. But if you're using the PowerPoint, maybe you're talking about someone's retirement, and so you have a beautiful ship there going into the sunset. I mean, that's effective to you to do that, for you to do that. So again, learn PowerPoint. It can be used in many different ways. It can be used to market yourself. It can be used for an effective seminar. And again, don't use it as a crutch. Use it as a tool. You should use it. It shouldn't be using you. That's it. I love it. I love PowerPoint.
How about radio talk shows?
Much like newspapers, they look for guests all the time, Steve, and with an interesting slant. So find an interesting slant, and you'd be amazed if you call radio stations and ask to speak to the program coordinator. And remember, they're listening to your voice. So don't call in the morning like, I'm wondering if you need someone to talk on your show. But really be upbeat, and your tone, your tempo is important, because they're listening. You're auditioning the minute they say hello. But tell them, you know, I'm a financial advisor in the area, and my specialty is working with retirement plans for XYZ Company, which is pretty much the dominant company in our community. And I'd like to get on the air and share some information with you. Well, what do you have to share? Make it important. I would like to talk to people about how to make sure they don't run out of money, how they don't outlive their money. I would like to talk to people about some ways that they can make more income if they're in their retirement years and they'd like to know how to have a little bit more income to spend every month. Whatever it is, one really dynamic point. Don't ramble on, and they'll probably, if they have room, they'll put you on. I've done this several times, and I rarely get turned down. So, again, one good point, what's the benefit to your listeners? The benefit is this. I'm going to help them understand how to do this, and I'd really like the opportunity to do that and see what happens, because that person's always looking for talent. Think about it. The web, internet, radio, TV. How many stations do you get? We used to get 10. Now we get 210. so they're always looking for somebody to be interesting for their viewers or their watchers or their readers. So realize they need you, and if you do it right, you'll get a chance to be on the air.
Good idea.
Scripting is a big one, and I could give you 5 classes on this one, but scripting is really important. Number one, the question I always get is, I don't want to sound canned. Well, you know what? You won't sound canned if you work through it and work through it and work through it. And the example I always use, Steve, is this. Everybody goes to a movie, and I always ask the audience in a live conference, tell me your favorite movie when I count to 3. Real loud, and I count to 3, and the pandemonium breaks out. Everybody yells out a movie. And I say, those are all great movies. And they look at me and I say, but you know what they all, who can tell me what they all have in common? And the answer is a script. We sit there for 2 hours on the edge of our seat or laughing or crying, and all it is a bunch of memorized words delivered properly. So I tell people that's how you work a script. You know what you're going to say when you pick up that phone. You know what you want to sound like, and you work it through that it's comfortable for you. So if you're talking to 20 people and one person says they're interested in your services, you better know what you're going to say to that person and not be hemming and hawing all over. And I'll tell you why. If you're hemming and hawing all over, it isn't that you're looking for a word, which might be the case. It conveys that you're not very bright and you're fumbling around. So again, I'm a real big proponent of scripting. 10-minute introduction, and it should be a benefit. 30-second personal commercial, and it should be a benefit. What do you do for a living? I help people earn more income, save on taxes, plan for retirement. Wow. Versus, what do you do? Well, I just graduated Harvard, and I'm a financial professional, help wealth, build wealth. People are like, oh, what's that? But if you say, I help my clients earn more income, save on taxes, plan for retirement, build wealth. You've just covered all the benefits that people look for, and they're going to ask for your card. Prospecting script. When you're on the phone, you should know exactly what you're going after, what you're going to say, why you're going to say it. Product presentation, same thing. Product presentation, it's okay to use their brochure, to open the brochure and point it out and let the brochure work with you to help present something. But again, you shouldn't wing it. Profiling script is the same thing. You need to be comfortable asking people all the personal questions we're required to ask, 20 personal questions before we can make an investment recommendation for a client. You've got to be comfortable doing that. If you're hemming and hawing when you ask them what their net worth is and you're apologizing all over the place because you feel like you're invading their space, you're not going to cut it. You need to have confidence and be comfortable and say, now I'm required to ask you these questions about your net worth, your age, your annual income, how much you save in taxes, you know, all of these personal questions, and that's the reason. It's required of me, and you do it with confidence. So, again, scripting can make a brand new baby broker sound like he's been in the business 10 years. Scripting can make someone who's struggling or not confident sound confident, just like that movie you see where you're on the edge of your seat and you're enthralled. It's a script. So I'm a big believer in knowing what you're going to say and saying it right. Not in anybody else's words. I'll train 500 people in a call center. I want every one of them to write the words in their own tongue that feels comfortable for them. If they use $5 words, fine. If they use $2 words, fine. But they have to write their script in a way that feels comfortable to them. Right. Sorry I dragged that one out, but I really think scripting is important, Steve. But let's go to 13, which is sponsor a company or church picnic. Now, this is really, I won't go into a long dissertation on this, but this is really a good thing, is to find a small business and offer to sponsor a company picnic. Can you imagine if you owned a hardware store or a small grocery store and someone came in and said, do you have a family picnic for your employees? I'd like to sponsor that. What would it take? Not too much, a few $100, you know, some hot dogs and popcorn and a few games and maybe get a local radio station to come out. And I've actually done sales meetings like this. But I think to do a sponsor, to do it as a sponsor for a small company or a small church, again, you're the hero. A local wine store will come out and do a wine tasting booth. You can have a pet show sponsored by a local vet. Get the idea, all these different things. It works. I know someone that did this on a regular basis, and it works.
Well, you're getting in front of a lot of people in the most opportune way. That is, on a personal way.
Yes. Sponsoring a golf tournament's number 14. Again, similar to the company picnic, you'd be surprised how you can penetrate a niche market this way. If you offer to be a sponsor for, say, a chiropractor convention or any kind of an organization that's going to have a golf tournament, you become either one of the sponsors or all of the sponsors. You'd be surprised. You get to have sign out there. And I know one broker who did this, and he actually got on the fourth or fifth hole and took pictures of, this was a chiropractor convention, took pictures of all the chiropractors and wrote down the names of the team and said, I will drop these pictures off for you when they're developed. Now, right now, it would be even easier with digital. But notice I say he said he would drop the pictures off, not send them over email, because he wanted the opportunity to shake the doctor's hand and say, I'm the one who sponsored the picnic, and I took these pictures of your foursome. And all you do is take a picture of the foursome and make four copies and bring those to the doctor, and he's the hero. Now he gets to give his buddies the pictures that, you know, because he probably bought the foursome. So it's a lot of fun. And, again, talking of a combination of niche marketing we talked about, affinity marketing, but doing things outside the box that gets you the publicity that you need. Should we move on to?
That would be certainly fine.
Okay, we'll go to survey. This is for people who really are in a cold calling mode and they're sort of stuck. You could come up with a survey. Like the example I think I used in the article was what are seniors doing about the high cost of prescriptions? And you could call prospects and just say, I'm building my business by creating a survey that's interesting to some of our clients, and I wondered if I could ask you three questions. And then you do compile them. You know, maybe you need to talk to 100 people to get an accurate survey, and you do compile them, and you promise to send them a little copy of the report, so you need their name and address. You know, I really believe, though, Steve, with cold calling, I don't know how you feel, but I don't think I'd give anybody my Social Security number or date of birth over the phone.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and years ago, that's how we opened accounts, one after the other. But that was before, you know, that was back in history, before all the problems we had with ID theft and computers and all that. So it's pretty tough to do cold calling. Which brings me to volunteering, number 16. Wonderful way to meet new and exciting prospects. If you have the heart to give back to others for your own success, you will be amazed at how you will find people in a group where you're volunteering, or people in a group where you're serving on a board or in a charity organization will use your services. They will want to thank you back for what you're doing for them. And that's just pure and simple. Again, you know, I always say to people, only if you have the heart for it. If children are not your favorite people in the whole world, you wouldn't be in the big girl, you know, little girl, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, or any of those things. You'd find an area where you feel an affinity. If you have heart conditions in your family and there's a heart association, that would tug at your heartstrings. That's what you want to do. So we're coming down to the home stretch here. This is an amazing story, number 17, warm-up act. I have had a broker who has done this for a plastic surgeon. She has a shy plastic surgeon that she introduces at a seminar and does the warm-up act. She gets out there and says, I'm the financial advisor to Dr. So-and-so, and the reason I'm here is to introduce her to you and to tell you a little bit about what she does. She's handled, 5,000 of these surgeries, and we're going to talk today for about 20 minutes and answer your questions. Basically, a little warm-up. She is the mistress of ceremonies for this doctor. Now, that's the only one I know of, but I thought to myself, you could do this for a laser surgeon. You could do this for a CPA who gives seminars. You could do this for a contractor who does seminars. You could do this for just about anybody. Just be the warm-up act. And at the end of it, she closes for the doctor and throws out a few goodies, a few trinkets that she gets from her wholesalers, and again has the opportunity to say, here's who I am, here's what I do. So in one way, it's a cross-endorsement. She's endorsing the doctor's endorsing her because that's her client, and it's a wonderful way to think outside the box.
That truly is.
Yes, it is.
I'd never heard that idea, and I think it's a fantastic idea.
Warm-up act.
Yeah.
So no need to sit there and say, I can't find anybody to talk to, I have no business, I have no customers. They're out there. You just have to figure out a way to get out there and find them. And I hope that these 17 marketing ideas to consider will help you find one or two avenues that will make you extremely extremely wealthy and give you the chance to help a lot of people become wealthy as well.
Patty, thank you very much. That was very, very enjoyable.
My pleasure, Steve.